Continuing in the Gospel of Mark, our Gospel lesson for today is from chapter 10. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I've kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own, give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It will be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals, it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible." The Gospel of the Lord. Congregation may be seated. I'm going to ask the kids to come forward for the children's sermon at this time, and if you would meet me over at the noisy offering. I need some help today with noisy offering. Let's go over here to the noisy offering. All right, I've got my noisy offering with me today. How many of you have done noisy offering before? Okay, great. Good. So you'll be able to help me out with this. Now, I've got my noisy offering. When you come up with your noisy offering, how much of it do you put in there? Here's all my noisy offering, I think. Okay, is that good? No? When you come up with your noisy offering, how much do you usually put in? You put all of it in there? You don't keep some? You don't put some? You put all of it in there. I could put a little bit more in there, but there's a game that I'm really saving up for that this would be helpful with that. Are you sure you put all of it in there? No? Okay. Well, I'm a little suspicious of this too, but I'll put a little bit more in. But I want to get a treat tonight, though. I should probably keep some back for that, yeah? No. Okay, I'll put a little bit more in there. You know, I've got to keep some, though. We got to have something to eat tonight at our house, so I should probably keep something for supper tonight, right? Yeah? Okay. So I can take some of this back with me. No? Okay, I'll put a little bit more in there, but what about my kids? My kids at least need to eat, right? I got to keep enough for them to eat. Got a shopper here. Okay, mac and cheese is only 50 cents. So I'm keeping 50 cents. The rest is going in. Okay. Now this is kind of hard, right? Because in the story, how much did Jesus tell the rich man that he had to give up? Did he say you could keep back 50 cents? He said you got to put everything in. But then we need some to live on and take care of ourselves and take care of other people. So if we put it all in, we'd be poor ourselves, right? So it's really hard to understand what Jesus is saying here when he says give up everything. In fact, it's not just really hard. It'd be impossible. It'd be impossible to give up everything and still be able to take care of the ones that we love too, right? So it's kind of hard to figure out exactly what he's saying here. But then do you remember what Jesus says later when he's talking to his disciples? He says, for people, this is impossible. But what about for God? It's possible. Anything is possible for God, right? So we're going to hear some more about what's possible and what's not possible for us. I'm gonna follow your practice. I'm gonna put the rest in here this morning, but would you pray with me and let's hear some more about Jesus and God and us together. Jesus, we give you thanks that you continue to come after us. You continue to call to us even when you've asked us to do things and we find it impossible to follow your teachings, yet you still come to us with grace and mercy and to grant us through God to do what's impossible for us and keep us with you always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for helping me out. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, as we gather here today and hear what's impossible for us, be at work through these words to continue to make our relationship with you possible. May these words be yours and not mine, and may they be met with open hearts and open minds. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I remember watching that show, Mission Impossible, from a young age. That catchy tune, right? The strange recordings that always had to self-destruct in a way that seemed wasteful and cool at the same time. And then we brought Tom Cruise into the equation, and maybe for some of you that made it or broke it, I don't know, but apparently it worked for Hollywood for at least 6 movies, and now we've got a 7th one on the way. What better way to have a summer blockbuster, right? Proving that it wasn't really Mission Impossible, but rather Mission Really, Really Difficult and especially far-fetched, yet somehow possible. You can't really blame Hollywood for taking this tack, though. I mean, they're tapping into a mindset that is very prevalent in our culture. How many times have we told ourselves or told our kids, you can do whatever you put your mind to. Believe in yourself and the sky is the limit. If you just acquire these 7 highly effective habits, you can accomplish fill in the blank. You know, I've always wondered whether for an Olympic athlete or a celebrity that you've heard this in one form or another in what it felt like or what the silver medalist would say or the celebrity that didn't make it in Hollywood, how they feel about these kinds of saying, if it's really possible if you just put your mind to it. How about, let's experiment with this a little bit, see how possible things are. If you are having a crummy day and somebody comes up to you and says, cheer up, you need to smile more. Is it possible? When you find yourself in a very serious situation and for some reason you cannot stop laughing at the situation and somebody says to you, stop laughing, this isn't supposed to be funny. Is it possible? Or how about when you're going down an alleyway in a part of the neighborhood that you're not familiar with and somebody tells you, don't be afraid. Is it possible? Or when somebody says to you, don't be sad. When you've lost a beloved pet or someone close to you. Is anything possible if I just believe it? Well, Disney told me so anyway. Told me if I can dream it, I can do it. And I suspect our rich young man in this story had been told something to a similar degree at some point in his life that if he believed it, he could earn eternal life, that if he just tried hard enough, it was actually possible to secure himself a lasting impact by making enough of a difference in this lifetime to last forever. He believed it. It was possible. He had come to Jesus with his 7 highly effective habits of a Christian based on the 10 commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't covet. Honor your mother and father. Yes, Lord, I've done all these things since my youth. I have dreamt it. I've applied it, I've come up with a plan, I've worked it, and here I am to collect what I was told. If I could just believe it, it was mine. To which Jesus says, you lack one thing. Go, sell what you own, give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Which you might hear Jesus say in an abbreviated way, you lack one thing, me. The problem, you see, is not so much the riches, but the fact that the man had come to think that he's got the kingdom without Jesus. See, you can honor your parents. You cannot kill people. You cannot commit adultery and not steal or lie and not covet and also not have anything to do with Jesus. It's possible. And this guy had come to the conclusion that it was also possible for him to have the kingdom, to have everlasting and abundant life without Jesus. Now, here's the thing. I can sympathize with this rich man. I've been there, full of the idea that if I just believe in myself, anything is possible. It's the mindset that I went into seminary or pastor school, if you like, with. In fact, I believed in myself so much that when I did the required psych eval for going into the school, it was recorded under the concerns about the candidate place. Candidate does not feel that he's done anything so bad that he needs forgiven for. I've been saying for over 20 years the same confession that you said this morning. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Candidate does not feel he's done anything so bad he needs forgiven for. Rich indeed. I was told transitioning from delivering for Pepsi to reading and writing for a master's program would be extremely hard for me, that I would struggle a lot with it. But I thought, hey, I believe in myself. I can do this, and so I will. So Carrie and I quit our good-paying jobs, moved in the middle of summer to the seminary. I started Summer Greek, and you can get the idea of how that program went for me with the saying of, it's all Greek to me. It sure was. I just thought if I apply myself, I'll become fluent, not considering that I'd already taken 4 years of Spanish at that point and wasn't fluent at all in it. It didn't take long at seminary for me to realize I was not getting this at all, that spending all my free time on Greek wasn't making me fluent in it at all, but in fact it was making me extremely depressed with my lack of progress. My total lack of achieving was really starting to make me not believe in myself anymore either, and I think you can ask my wife, but I'm pretty sure I cried through every dinner for those first 6 months that we were at seminary. I went and saw a therapist who slept through my sessions. She got me on a medication that made me feel like nothing, which I suppose in a way was at least accurate to how I felt about myself at the time. Have you ever found yourself in these kinds of situations, these impossible circumstances where you thought you had it all going for you, you thought you planned it out, you had counted the cost, you were in control of the situation, you had what you needed to feel confident and secure, and suddenly you were in way over your head. It was clear you were not in control. And the odds were stacked against you, and if not difficult, downright impossible to overcome. Maybe for you, it was with some kind of education. Maybe it's a relationship that you're in. Maybe it's a job you took on that you thought you had everything that you needed for it, but as time goes by, you're finding it more and more impossible. You know, maybe you want to be a family, but you're finding that impossible for one reason or another. Maybe you've got family and you're trying to figure out what's the best way to take care of them, and you're finding coming up with the answer to that is impossible. So many possibilities for impossibility in this life. For me, it was in a time and place like that, stripped of the idea that I could possibly get anything in my life right, that I could begin to hear Jesus' words as good news. For mortals, it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible, including having a place in a ministry of forgiveness for a guy who thought he didn't need forgiven for anything. Now, this doesn't mean that just because I had a little epiphany in the ashes of my dreams of greatness that since then everything has been wonderful and I don't struggle anymore. If anything, I've become rich, you might say, in an awareness of just how impossible life can be in times. Impossible to parent how I want to be a parent. Impossible to be the husband that I would like to be. Impossible to pastor a congregation according to the standard for ordained ministry. Impossible to get over the same physical and mental struggles I've had for most of my life. Impossible to be the change that I want to be in the world. Impossible to hold the right views in a country that is so divided? Impossible not to offend someone. Impossible to console someone. And impossible to keep from telling myself that if I would just try harder, it might be possible. In so many ways, man, life is impossible. But standing at the dead end of every one of those impossibilities about me, and in your own ways, about you, standing at the dead end of every one of them stands Jesus. And as the text says, Jesus looked at the rich young man and loved him. I imagine Jesus standing there with this little smirk on his face as he says, turns out you still need a Savior, someone to rescue you from the impossibilities of life and give you the freedom to live at peace, knowing I've got this life and the one to come in my hands. You know, when you had it all together, when you were rich in self-belief and thought you had it under control, it was impossible for you to follow me. But might you just be in the right time and place to hear what I've been trying to tell you all along. What is impossible for you is possible for me. Follow me, Jesus says, and I'll show you. Amen.